Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand. Set in fire, never outclassed. Welcome everybody to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. I am Sin City Steve, being joined as always by Rob Bossolari, Vegas Trump guy himself. Rob, how the hell are you, man?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm hanging in there.
Good, man.
So much to do. There's so many shows going on. So much happening in Las Vegas and a lot more happening in wrestling.
Absolutely, man. And also really quick, I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us. We are live on Facebook, on Twitch, and on YouTube. So, yeah, definitely thank you for dropping into one of those platforms. And let's just dive right into it, and let's talk about the week that was in pro wrestling, man. Why not? And as we tend to usually do, let's start with the WWE, shall we? Let's talk about Monday Night Raw, or as I should say, lunchtime Raw? Afternoon Raw? I don't know. But Rob, what are your thoughts on this show? Let's go ahead and put this graphic back up
here. Maxxine Dupri. Ooh. Oh, what a fucking turd of a match. And why was it a turd? Because all of a sudden, Natalya Neidhart shows up, right? Natalya shows up and goes, oh, I'm going to accompany you to the ring and help you. And I went, why? She didn't need it last time when she won. wait a minute. Now, I'm of the Ric Flair school where if you're wearing red, you're going to lose, right? Ooh, yep. She's running down the ring in red attire. Natty's going down the ring in red attire. And all I'm thinking to myself is, Christ, they telegraphed it. They sent me the email 2 days earlier. Wow, I wonder what's going to happen here. And it was boring.
Yeah.
She goes right up to the edge of the rope. You know, it's supposed to be over. And Natty grabs the leg of fucking
Maxxine.
Yeah, no, I mean, not Maxxine. Grabs the leg of, I am fucking not enough coffee today. Our new Starfleet Academy star.
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. Grabbed Becky Lynch's leg, threw it on the ropes, screwed over Maxxine Dupri, and I'm going, what the fuck? Not because of the shock value. Now, Michael Cole's going, oh my God, we've never seen Natty do this. She's done this her whole career, screw people over. This is the worst example of trying to get another 5 minutes of fame to get one little last push in your career going, a little last run. I thought it was stupid. If they wanted to do the whole thing where you have to test Maxxine Dupri, and because she says to her, oh, you haven't learned anything, meaning, okay, you're too close to the rope. Have your pins in the middle of the ring. Maybe if you want to do it where she spells out every mistake that Maxxine makes, great, I could get behind that. Maybe, but I know WWE is not going to do it. Yeah, they're not going to be that detail oriented about it.
Yeah, they're not going to follow up with it. And, you know, that we'll see what happens. But obviously, I mean, I think that there are a couple of different ways that they could play this up. But it would be standard booking to say that, you know, this was Maxxine's final test, you know, that kind of a thing.
But which is stupid because she won. She won already. The fans liked her. All she had to do was just modify her strategy. She almost did no leg locks in that entire match. I think she only did a submission hold twice maybe in that entire matchup, Whereas in the other one, she was way more aggressive. She was over aggressive. Becky Lynch rotates and then grabs onto the rope, and that's how the win is done. Now, I get it. Becky Lynch is in Starfleet Academy. She should be holding the belt while the show's going on. That show, not that great. Don't want to get into it. Not going to go down that rabbit hole. But they're doing everything in their power to push anything related to that programming to the moon.
I see what you did there.
By the way, the one of the few characters that I actually like on that show for the one episode that I watched was Rebecca Quinn, playing what we believe was the security officer. She actually was not as cardboard cut out and mechanical as the other two schmucks running the helm and the op station. I'm a Star Trek nerd. It is what it is. But it was good.
Yeah.
Her part was good anyway. So yeah. I'd like her to do well in it. I don't think you're going to put your red hair on this one, though.
Yeah. She could very well be the lone bright spot on a show that has been virtually deadpan. And there you go. You're rocking some gear there, too. So got to love that.
Got my little Star Trek gear on there.
Nice. Gotta love that, man. Let's dive in. Let's talk a little bit more about Monday Afternoon Raw. And I gotta tell you, man, the CM Punk and Finn Balor match, as everyone knows, I am a CM Punk critic, if you will. But I gotta hand it, man. I gotta hand it to both guys in this match. This was one of the better matches I've seen on WWE TV in recent memory, in terms of weekly TV. So both guys went out there, absolutely crushed it. And you know, I gotta throw this graphic up there too, because Finn Balor brought back the babyface entrance music and his mannerisms for his world title match in Ireland, which, it makes sense. It just makes sense. For them to take certain European superstars and flip them to being baby faces when they're traditionally heels everywhere else, a la Bret Hart in Canada, I think is a smart move. You know, you outside of Becky Lynch, who rumor has it, she got out there, cut a completely scathing heel promo during a commercial break to get the crowd to boo her. That's the only person that I can think of that they didn't flip their alignment, if you will. But yeah, very interesting that they did allow Finn to have his old music, his mannerisms. And it was a great call because dude was over like a motherfucker. Well done. I have to play devil's advocate a lot of time with WWE, but I also have to tell the truth when things are done well. This was one of those matches that was done extremely well. Both guys, hats off. So,
you know, you got to do it. You have to put over the guys in their own country because you have to remember this may be the very last time that you get to see any of these guys. You know, minor detail. The whole idea is we're here to promote WWE. We want the fans to be happy with what they're experiencing. If they're not happy with what they're experiencing, why the hell did they pay the money? Sometimes you can, you know, overthink it, but they did the same thing for Drew McIntyre on Friday, and we'll get to that a little bit later. They gave the people what they wanted for a moment.
Yep. Yeah, man. And you know, speaking of giving the people what they want, let's flip that 180 degrees because we had, the Gunther promo segment and, it was interesting. We find out that AJ Styles could very well be the next victim of, Gunther, the career killer. As obviously, we're going to be getting, it looks like, AJ versus Gunther at the Royal Rumble in Riyadh. And it's interesting because keep in mind, AJ joined WWE at a Royal Rumble just as, a decade ago. So pretty interesting stuff, man.
You know, they're doing the Randy Orton thing with Gunther. I'm leery about this because with Gunther's momentum, he should be on a title hunt. He shouldn't care as much about getting dragged down the this area of just vagueness. I can't articulate it any other way. What is your career right now? Your career is you're having somewhat unremarkable matches. The match he had against John Cena was unremarkable. It was bigger for Cena than it was for Gunther. Cena didn't tap out. Cena just was bored and gave up. That's the energy that he showed. And that doesn't reflect well on Gunther in the long run. At any point, anyone could pull the trigger and say, you know what? He just didn't feel like doing it anymore. Yeah. And that was it. And you could have Cena come by a few years down the road and be self-deprecating about it. Now you're going to tell me that AJ Styles is going to put his career on the line at Royal Rumble and lose like that? Bullshit. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because if that does happen, AJ is going to be on AEW so goddamn fast. He'll be a Bullet Club member. He'll be a Don Callis family member. Oh, he will want to go, look what I got now. I've got AJ Styles, and we're going to make him a star. We're going to make him a star, Shivani.
Hey, man. We'll definitely talk about AEW shortly, but yeah, they're doing, they're just adding to that family, man. It's crazy. But any other thoughts on Monday afternoon Raw?
Well, yeah, it had the Lucha Trio.
Yep.
Against the Vision, and not bad, but it looks almost slapstickish. Yeah. In the sense of these three little dudes, it's like the freaking Lord of the Rings. It's like the hobbits versus the fucking evil like Dread Knights or some shit. You know, like what the hell?
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes should like bow to them and be like, oh, bow to the hobbits that have survived and let this land be free, you know? And I got to say something. It's a little fucked up, but I went to the nerd bar, no pun intended, and I saw the ring gear for Penta, and he's my height, which makes the other two even smaller than me. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, man.
How the hell?
The angles that they use to shoot.
Oh my
this stuff.
God. Yeah. It's incredible. Penta is 5'7". Maybe 5'8". That's pushing it. Maybe. If you want to see his ring gear and you live in Las Vegas, drag your ass over to the Nerd Bar in Fremont. You'll be glad you did. Get over there and you will hear, you will see some really classic wrestling memorabilia, past, present, and future stuff included. And right next to the Game of Thrones chair, a replica one, not the studio one, obviously, but there is a glass case with a full Pentagon Jr., his real name, real ring name, Pentagon Jr. ring attire. And it's fucking incredible. I love this stuff. I really do. So WWE should get a trophy for how they're able to do these camera angles. But these other guys are gigantic. Let's not take it away. If, you know, Penta is 5'7", which is what basically your Vegas bad boys are. We're all about the same height. Then you got to really understand how big an Austin Theory is and Logan Paul and, you know, Bronson Reed. These guys are fucking gigantic. Yeah. And also shows you the technical in-ring capability of the three luchas who took him on, the three luchadors. So it was a good match. They get their win, yeah. And fuck it, enjoyable.
Absolutely, man. And last but not least, hopefully Javon Evans is okay after being injured in his match with El Grande Americano. Match had to be stopped due to injury. So, best wishes to Javonna.
Very odd. They come out of a commercial break, and he's grabbing his side like Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z. He's like, ah! And I'm like, is this kayfabe? Why would they need to? There's nothing on the line here like they did with Seth Rollins. Yeah. He looks like he maybe pulled something, pulled a muscle.
Yeah.
He'll probably be out a couple of weeks after rehab. They'll give him the old kinesio tape and send him back out there. But not a great start.
No.
It doesn't look good. It really, it doesn't look good. It was supposed to be a throwaway match. It was supposed to be an easy, I beat Grande Americano. He harumphs. The other two run in. Javon Evans run out of the rings with Rayo and the other one chasing him.
None of that happened.
None of that happened. We knew the match was supposed to go, but we didn't get it.
Ooh. No, sir. And let's actually pivot and talk about Friday Night SmackDown. The thing that I do want to make mention of as well, I just want to obviously kind of let you have the floor. Tell me what you thought about SmackDown. And let's talk about that Drew McIntyre promo and the expert move that they did with changing his alignment as well.
Years ago, Seth Rollins was injured. He was injured for about a year. And he came back and he got in the ring and goes, "I read all your letters. Ha ha. And I saw all your posts. Get well soon. And I took all that and I threw it in the garbage. And I went, all right. If you're going to be a heel, you'd be a good heel. Stone Cold was a good heel. The Rock was a good heel. The Rock took over the Nation of Domination with an eyebrow.
Hang on. I can't. Stone Cold was a good heel? No.
No, when Stone Cold came out...
Stone Cold was not a good heel, bro.
Wait a minute. When he came out, he goes, "Hey, JR, what? We're not friends anymore, JR? What? We're not friends anymore, JR? You don't like me anymore? You don't like the Texas Rattlesnake? You son of a bitch!" And I was going, I kind of like it. He was supposed to be the general of the WWE side, and he leaves for the ECW, WCW faction, and... then what does he create? He creates a legendary character. And yeah, he was kind of a bitch ass at times when Kurt Angle threw him in the kiddie pool and thought he threw him over a bridge. Because it was entertaining.
Yeah.
And he came up with catchphrases. He took his persona and reinvented himself. Good. What did Drew McIntyre do? He went down the Seth Rollins route. He goes, "In these hard times, it's about time that Britain has a proper champion." And everyone's losing their shit. And you're like, all right, you deserve it.
Yep.
And he ran into the crowd. He found the guy with the replica belt. And they clacked belts. And he was crying. He was happy. And then after we get genuine Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
TNA Drew Galloway.
Yep.
He goes, "Nah, I don't like none of yous at all." I'm like, what the fuck, dude? No, don't. He's got Becky Lynch disease. He's got Becky Lynch and by the way, Becky Lynch is on a TV show. She's the Women's Intercontinental Champion, and I forgot her name because she's forgettable now because the story isn't about her. She's fucking forgettable. No matter what the scenario is, if you're holding a belt, you should not be forgettable. You're on a fucking TV show. Your name should come to the front of my mind, and it doesn't, because you're boring. You're a background character with a belt in a corner. Terrible on WWE. That's why doing the Maxine route that they did was stupid, because it takes shine off Becky Lynch, and right now they need the shine that they can get, all of it. Now, as far as this is concerned, with Drew McIntyre being a comical heel now and a little chicken shit heel, which is what he is.
It honestly doing some of the best character work he's ever done, to be honest.
Hey, to this point, the whole thing was Drew was intelligent going in. Three stages, he goes, "Oh, I'm not going to sign this contract because it's lopsided." And I'm like, wait a minute. He's right, because everything is in the favor of Cody. Cody can fuck around. Cody can have a run in. And I'm like, all right, you've made Drew Drew calculating. The problem with giving the win to Drew in the way that they did it by having our werewolf going, our Samoan werewolf coming and fuck it all up for both of them indiscriminately, with Drew picking up the win, you take away Drew's power and you make him a comic relief guy. That might as well be a burlap sack belt, because it's It's now just a matter of him just playing keep away. He's not going to be a fighting champion. Fine. He's not going to be a dominant champion. I'm not going to be afraid of him when he walks into a ring. I'm not concerned about him. It's just going to be 3 or 4 months until WrestleMania of him being a jackass and being obnoxious. And there won't be any memorable moments. There won't be the Cena. None of that. It's going to just be 4 months of dog shit. And fucking Matt right now is going, Jesus Christ, Rob, what do you want? The guy's giving us the best. That's right, he did. Right until this point, and then they kind of snapped it off and went in a different direction, which WWE has done too much lately. They take you on a journey, they take you on a road, and then there's no fork in the road, and they go, oh, we're stopping the road. We're going to walk through the forest to the next road. Why? This was good. He should have beat Cody straight up. Cody's not a great, superb wrestler. Think about it. What was WrestleMania 31? Cody had a chance to pull the trigger on John Cena, 41. And he didn't. What, 41? Yeah, sorry, 41. He had a chance to pull the trigger on John Cena, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Could have clocked him with the belt, and he didn't. So he ended up looking like a shitty little unprepared Boy Scout. He looked like a little kid in the ring. He got knocked the fuck out, nutshotted, belt to the face, lost. Do I feel bad for him? No, I don't. Do I feel bad for Drew McIntyre winning the way he does? You know, he went up and he looks actually really smart and masterful leading into this run. And this is what you do to him.
Yeah.
What's the point? Why do I care about a guy who has been feuding with Solo Sikoa and now he's beating both of them up? It doesn't make sense. It's the same thing with Natalya. I don't, why are you throwing these people in this position?
Honestly, it seems like as if they're throwing anything at the wall just to see what sticks at this point.
I had spaghetti for dinner. I don't need it for your programming too. Okay. I mean, tagliatelle, you know, thicker cut, fresh pasta. You boil it up, it floats to the top. I know it's floating to the top. I knew that Drew was floating to the top. I knew that Maxine Dupree was floating to the top. I didn't need you to take them and throw them against the wall. We knew they were al dente, just right. You did not need to fuck with your own recipe. Stop it. Stop it.
Well, I know better than you. And by the way, I never fired R-Truth. His contract ran out, and that was a smart decision because he should have come back.
And what did they do with that? You're going to put some respect on my name. Then what, does he have a fucking seizure? And then a week later goes back to being a goofball?
Bro. The whole premise with WWE Unreal is, you know, and we'll talk about this probably on our next episode, where we can spend a lot of time kind of dissecting it. But it's just as much of a work as the main product is. Hate to break the news to everybody involved. You can, you know, say, oh, well, this was supposed to happen, blah, blah, blah. And I can just tell you this. It's just as real as every other piece of reality television, which ain't real at all.
When they're talking about in baseball, Carlos Beltran for the Hall of Fame, and they're going, hey, you guys don't seem to mind that when he was in Houston Astros, they cheated to win. There was a signal gate.
Yep.
And everyone goes, well, you know, sports are real, Robert. Wrestling's a work. When you do things like that, it's a work. Shut the fuck up. So if WWE, you have the opportunity to pick your winners, and it's not even about the belt. We're fucking over people who don't have titles now. You're altering the direction and the trajectory of people who already. And you've said this before. Oh, they're not famous on their own. They're not famous for Triple H. They're famous on their own. You're dicking around with people who have organic followings. And as soon as anyone gets a groundswell, they throw cold water on it. They're like, yeah, whoa. No. Where's LA Knight? No. Wait, is Ricker hurt? No. Ricker is over with the fans. That was his sim. Where is R-Truth? Over with the fans, gone. Where, and by the way, oh, you re-signed him and you put him right. You might as well give him the 24/7 belt and have him just do a run-in through the ring again. Like a
resurrect fucking, that shit.
Yeah, you know, have a, you know, put some sand on the ground, make him soft shoe it on MLK Day, because that's what you're treating him.
Holy shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Is that racist? That fucking is, because that's the way you treat him. You big, you gave him a tag title, you gave him a tag run with Awesome Truth with The Miz, and you made that comic relief.
Yep. Well, I mean, to be fair, it's The Miz. I mean, not for nothing, but yeah, anyway, let's speaking of The Miz, honestly, this episode of SmackDown was all about setting up that four-way for Saturday night's main event to determine who the number one contender is going to be. So we had Orton versus Miz. We had Damian Priest versus Solo Sikoa. We had Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov, which, banger. Just if you're going to watch anything from this show match-wise, watch that one. And then you had Trick Williams and Matt Cardona. What say you, Rob, about what went down on this show?
Ilya Dragunov is a savage in the ring, but you pair him up with somebody that I ultimately don't care about, because at the end of the day, Sami Zayn's personality is like, he's like wallpaper from the 60s. It's just peeling off, and there's that one little flower left, and you just like yank it off. No, it's Sami Zayn, you know, it's memories of when he was a cornball wrestler, and then a cornball heel, and then a cornball babyface, and then a cornball, conspiracy theory guy, and then a cornball Hawaiian, Samoan, something. We don't know. They gave him tribal clothes, and they said it was, and then a cornball, and I'm like, that's your whole fucking career. And then I lose interest, and I'm a comic. And I've heard stories that when he does do comedy shows, he's not too forgiving for the actual local comedians who are out there. Mm. So I hadn't heard that.
So I hadn't heard that. So that's interesting.
I heard something to that effect. I could be wrong. If I am, please feel free to correct me. Tell me I'm an asshole. I don't care. That's not exactly
mutually exclusive.
I don't care for banger matches that go nowhere.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, there were banger matches. Cardona looks great. What's the result on that? Give everyone the result of that match, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's give everybody the results of all four matches, because this is our four-way. Yeah. So you got Orton, you got Damian Priest, you got Sami Zayn, and you got Trick Williams. Rob, who you got in that four-way to become the number one contender? And I got to mention it, this Saturday night's main event is coming to us live from Montreal, Canada.
Now you go, oh, Sami Zayn. But we've also already seen Randy Orton walk in on our champ and start talking smack to him. So again, does Sami Zayn have a chance in hell of doing anything worthwhile? No. Randy Orton.
Okay. Well, I just to play devil's advocate and to counter you, I will say Sami Zayn picks up the win here. If for no other reason than because they want to send the fans home happy and get a great crowd reaction, as I'm sure that it will in Montreal.
Sami Zayn will speak his Quebecois. He'll go to Royal Rumble and he'll come out in a white type burqa thing and speak Arabic. God bless him. Therefore, by the grace of Canucks, go he. It's not sustainable. Okay. If you want to make him, you know what I liked him as? U.S. champion. I liked him in that capacity. I like that plucky underdog. I'm giving everyone a chance, and I'm a hero. And fine, that's the level you're at.
Yep.
Once in a while, you give him an intercontinental belt. Maybe Kevin Owens comes back one day. You give him a tag belts. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That's it. If you give him the belt, think of Jey Uso with the belt. That was an underwhelming title run. I think it was underwhelming. I don't think Absolutely. That guy has incredible mic skills, but he's got incredible energy. The dancing,
he's
only
over like Rover, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when he cut a promo, it was about you beat the shit out of my brother and I'm not afraid of you. That was a good promo because it was real.
Exactly.
But just like the MJF and CM Punk one, I don't know if you're being real. Great promos. These are really heartfelt, gut check, true emotion. And people can relate to that. But then what happens when you don't have that and that moment's passed? Now I got to rely on your baseline personality, your catchphrases, okay? Sami Zayn has no catchphrases. Sami Zayn doesn't look like a polished wrestler. Sami Zayn looks like a guy with a tip cup. Sami Zayn is a weirdo. And can he wrestle? He's got moves. Mm-hmm. You get the Huluva kick out of the way. You get rid of the Blue Thunder Bomb, which is the most ineffective move. I think it worked in Japan not too long ago. Then isn't that how the belts change in Japan off a Blue Thunder Bomb and NJPW?
It's the least devastating move in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah, it looks nice. You're flipping around a pizza. Looks like you're flipping around a pizza. Yeah. And the guy lands on his back and nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. So you got a guy who is equipped with not that many great moves. Here's the thing. John Cena did a springboard a stunner down the road. Yeah. He added moves. He added submissions. Cody's added moves over the years. You gotta upgrade. You got to make it look like you want to grow as a performer. All right? And if not, do what the New Day do. The New Day just, you know, pop up once and again. Give you a little nostalgia bump of, oh, well, they hit a dopamine to see them do their thing. And then maybe one day they'll be champs again and they'll be faces, but who cares? They know their lane. They know their lane right now. A lot of people know their lane. It's a waste of time to put any light on Sami Zayn when you know it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely agreed. So, and also obviously, SmackDown, we pretty much kind of hit all of the talking points. Is there anything else that you would want to mention about SmackDown, Rob?
I mean, I like the Leon Slater match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leon Slater
and Carmelo Hayes. Woo.
Good. Now, this is the thing. This is another fucked up one. Carmelo Hayes is also a savage in the ring.
Absolutely.
And when Carmelo Hayes wins or he hits a spot, look at the look on his face. The shock on his face with some of the spots he's getting. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like as if he can't even believe it himself.
And you know what? Maybe he should go from the arrogance route to just going, I can't believe I do what I do. He needs catchphrases. He needs catchphrases. He needs a mouthpiece, unfortunately. He needs something. I don't know. There's something missing there. He's got the in-ring moves. But you know what? This is the true thing. Of the people who do amazing stuff in-ring that are not luchadors, how many of them are successful? Not that many when you think about it.
Yeah.
Not that many. The ones who are barely around, MJF, what is MJF going to do? Is he going to get heavy in the ring and be a fighting champion? No. Is he going to cut an amazing promo? Yes. Yes. And when he does get in the ring, he surprises you because he can wrestle. But Absolutely. He doesn't just jump in the ring and do spot after spot after spot. Nope. And you're going to remember him. You're going to remember him. If he goes to WWE, which I don't think is happening anytime soon, but if he were to ever go there, you wouldn't have to explain to a garden variety fan who he is. Yeah. I would imagine they would go, oh, shit. If Kenny Omega showed up now to WWE, would you have to explain it? Would you have to dig in to go, who's Kenny Omega?
Not really, no.
No. You know they're household names in wrestling.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
So that's the thing. He's got to figure out what his personality is.
Yeah.
It worked in NXT to say, you know, I'm the best, Melo don't miss.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's Something's just off. I agree with you. Something just isn't quite clicking. But
it's the same with the Street Profits. It's the same problem. They have skill in the ring. That motherfucker can do a frog splash 20 feet in the sky. Okay. But if he walks in the ring right now and then and then Bianca Belair walks up behind him, I'm on my own against the world. Oh, he's going to get drowned out.
Without a doubt. His wife is going to get a much bigger pop than he will. And he's going to be, dare I say, overshadowed by his wife. So
The Miz and Becky Lynch are the only ones, and CM Punk and AJ Lee are the only husband-wives where it's close on their popularity levels.
You said The Miz and Becky Lynch.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Probably Seth Rollins.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Maybe The Miz and Maryse.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, not The Miz. I was thinking of The Miz. CM Punk and Becky. Fuck!
Well, in any event, I got you, man. Let's shift gears. Let's talk about the other promotion for a minute here.
Seth Rollins. Yes.
Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. That is correct. Okay. So really quick, before we do that, I just want to say what's up to everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us over on Facebook, on Twitch, and on YouTube. We are there live. Feel free to hang out with us on those platforms. Blast your comments into the chat box, and we'll put your thoughts on the air, and we'll react to them and carry on that dialogue. But let's talk a bit about AEW, because as we are recording this show, it is on a rare Wednesday night. So AEW Dynamite is actually, it's already over, but I personally haven't seen it yet. So we're not going to be talking about results or anything like that. Go ahead.
One of the nights of the year will be Kevin Knight versus Swerve Strickland.
Oh, without a doubt, dude.
I watched it as it was winding down, because I watched about a half an hour later, and it was a later match tonight, because on my came at 8, it said it was coming, it was starting at 8 or some shit, and I was like, what the hell? Yeah. And that match went like 2 commercial breaks.
Damn. Nice.
Ooh, it was good.
Dude, so AEW's got 2 very, very impressive guys in Swerve Strickland and in Kevin Knight. But I do want to just kind of take a step back for one quick minute, because we do have to talk about last week's show, Maximum Carnage, because if for no other reason than that main event between MJF and Bandido, boy, what a fucking banger of a match. Bandido,
and what did I say? MJF can wrestle.
Absolutely. And Bandido is continuing the tear that he had in 2025 into 2026. So, yeah, man, both guys executing at extremely high levels. And even after the match, MJF picks up the win. Shocker. But he gets on the mic and mentions that Bandido will be an AEW world champion someday. So, a very rare moment of MJF giving kudos and giving props to somebody in the ring. So a very non-MJF like thing to do, at least kayfabe MJF, if you will.
I also want to give a shout out to MJF's new hair. It's looking amazing. Yes.
Absolutely.
God bless the country of Turkey.
Elsewhere on the show, we did have the Triangle of Madness actually defeating what they're calling the Cosmic Babes of Wrath. Talk about a thrown together fucking sequence of names. But got Willow, you got Harley Cameron, and the AEW Women's World Champion, Chris Statlander, who was pinned by Tekla. So obviously they're setting that match up. And again, we're not going to talk about things that happened on tonight's episode of Dynamite, but they continue that storyline a bit.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. A lot of fun stuff went on in that match, but I do also want to talk about that 4-way tag match. the four-way tag match with Davis and Doyle. You know, we obviously talk a lot of shit about
from nothing.
You know, we do. Continue.
Hey.
Every time that I start to say a word, you're going on with that shit. So,
hey, come on. At least I'm not talking about open-toe sandals.
You know, I don't have that video even. Peeling back the curtain on that. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I do.
No. Don't do it. I got into a long discussion about with DJ Impact about that he's not a happy camper. He's like, hold on now. This motherfucker is finding pictures of my feet and putting it to music. What the fuck is this shit? This took time. He spent a lot of time and effort into doing this. Look at his face. He's enjoying this way too much.
Yeah.
I gotta talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah, man. In any event, so yeah, as far as the Maximum Carnage episode of Dynamite, we saw Darby Allin try to kill himself yet again, taking crazy bumps onto the actual steel stairs, not the flat part of the stairs, but the jagged part of the stairs.
The 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my God, he got suplexed into that, like spine on
everything.
Dude, there's no way. Again, I want to see a fucking football player. NBA player, like NFL, NBA, MLB. No motherfucker is getting their head and spine snapped on steel stairs. There is no way to fake half of the shit. Yeah. All right? I knock it off.
Yeah, sorry, absolutely, man.
Me off. And you guys are doing amazing stuff.
It's crazy. And despite all of that, you know, the crazy bumps that he took, he did pick up the win against Pac, got his win back. As Pac had beaten him on several other occasions. But by the way,
Pac is injured off that match.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And he was definitely showing the effects of it after the show, too. There were some fans that saw him walking with a very, very heavy limp outside of the arena. So
he came today with crutches on. He came limping out to the ring with crutches on today.
Damn. So, and, you know, let's talk for a minute about Collision that aired on Saturday. Of course, there's one major news story that's going to come out of this show, and that, of course, being that there are new AEW World Trios champions in Jet Speed and Hangman Adam Page defeating the Ops. And, you know, it is what it is, but Powerhouse Hobbs, he is currently, depending on who you ask, a free agent. I say depending on who you ask because some people have said that he's already signed on the dotted line and that he is on his way to Riyadh. So be that as it may, he may show up in that Royal Rumble.
All right. Now, if he shows up in the Royal Rumble, I think it's going to be, first of all, we don't know what his name's going to be. It won't be Powerhouse Hobbs.
It will not be Powerhouse Hobbs. There have been numerous sites that have reported that they will be going with a different name.
Obviously. So now, you had Ricky Starks, Ricky Saints, Powerhouse something else, could be Powerhouse Bob, you know, whatever.
They honestly, what the terms that I've heard that they've trademarked for him include Big Willie and Big Willie Style.
Oh God.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate.
No.
But that is so the
bad.
Only they call him something else other than Big Willie Hobbs.
Jesus fucking Christ, why do it to that guy? Yeah. You know what it is? It's like sending him out to the ring with corduroy pants on from the 60s and 70s and 80s. Like, let me have a kick me sign on my back. Big Willie. Oh, no. You ever see those chef reaction videos?
Oh, yeah.
And the funniest ones from Gordon Ramsay. He goes, no, no, you've ruined it. You bloody well ruined it. Oh, no, don't eat that. Oh, don't eat that. Oh, it's destroyed. Don't even give it to your bloody dog. Oh, that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
Go watch the videos. I was wondering if they're AI, but it's the name is everything.
No, because no, Gordon Ramsay owns, like, he maintains his social media accounts, and people send him clip after clip after clip of them trying to, you know, make food, and either that or else just troll him. One of the two.
Right. So, you know, it's a guy like, you know, making pizza soup. He takes a pizza, or like a, you know, Mama Celeste pizza, and he boils it, and then he puts a basil leaf in there, and he goes, that's Italian soup. But
right. My
point is, when he sees something bad, oh, God, no, oh, don't do it. No, don't do it. Why would you, Big Willie is the shittiest, unoriginal, unimaginative. Again, when we talk about the way they treat black superstars in WWE, and they set them up to fail. All right. Kofi Kingston was supposed to be the track star.
Yeah.
From back in the Olympics. And they did all the Usain Bolt. He was supposed to be Usain Bolt. Great. Yep. The other one, Apollo Crews. All right. And he was in TNA too.
Yeah.
Okay. Xavier Woods. All right. And Xavier Woods came out in the red, white, and blue with the mustache. And then they found the New Day, which was a gospel group, with Big E Langston. And then it was just Big E. All right. Big E. And you come up with tacky names. And you give them tacky gimmicks.
Yep.
The Street Profits were the Disney Crows. It's a horrible thing to say. But what did the Street Profits do when they first got to the main roster? They didn't fight. They didn't show their abilities. They sat there and they just gave a recap of the first hour of the programming, like Steve Harvey would do. You know, think about it. Watch Steve Harvey when they, every once in a while, they'll put him on America's Got Talent and they'll go, well, now we're just done seeing, often to see some great shows tonight. And they have him speak all folksy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that guy, but when you call somebody Big Willie, Willie Mack is different. Willie Mack owns that. He comes out. He picks the hair. He looks cool. He's a stocky guy. He's doing kip-ups, all right?
Extremely agile. Crazy agility for someone his size.
And when he talks about who he is, he's real.
Yeah. Again,
what did I talk about? Go to the Nerd Bar. He's there right now playing console. Don't ask him a question while he's playing. He'll answer you, but he's not paying attention to you. He's in the game.
Yeah.
No worries, man. Big Willie. Big fucking Willie. God damn it. What's your problem, Big Willie?
Yeah, man. Another obvious thing just to mention here was Andrade with his re-return to AEW, defeating Angelico. And realistically, I can't think of a colder debut match that I've seen. This guy got a decent reaction when he came out, but watching this match, it was just a matter of maybe a 5-minute match. This thing felt like it was damn near 10 to 15 minutes. It was going on and on and on. Like, what the fuck?
No, think about it like this. He was gone for, how long was he gone for the company? About 2 years? Maybe a year and a half? You don't want it to seem like this was a great return. You want it to seem like he's always been there.
What's up, Anthony? How you doing, bro? Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man. Good to see you.
I would take this from the perspective of, all right, just make it look like it's another day.
Yeah.
Make it look like he's going to get lost in the watch with the Don Callis family. There's no, those faction and Gobernales. You don't have that, which would have been fine. So what are you going to do? You're going to put him in the shuffle with all of this other Don Callis stuff. So,
I mean, realistically, you could easily have him as part of a designated trio in the DCF. You know, if you look at the top right of the image there, you know, you've got Josh Alexander, you've got Clone, you've got Kyle Fletcher. I think they're missing the boat on who they're putting together. Realistically, if you were to put Andrade together with El Clone and Hechicero, have them as a mainstay in the trios division, have them be designated as a trio, they can run in CMLL. They can run in AEW. They can run in even New Japan. I see more capability if you put Andrade with those two guys, even though all three acts are presented as singles, if nothing else, until Hologram comes back, because realistically, we know Hologram and Clone are going to have, you know, their.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of Proto Keshta?
So, you know, I think Fletcher and Takeshita make a solid team. I don't think that they need to be a mainstay tag team. I definitely see Fletcher and Takeshita leaving the Don Callis family, especially since they're adding to the ranks. You know, adding like a Jake Doyle, who realistically, you know, you have Jake Doyle come in as a tag team with Mark Davis. They picked up the big win on Dynamite in that four-way, which was a pretty banger match. We kind of got diverted, but that match was very solid. I think that, you know, you're starting to see more people being added to this family. And
I know who you
some people will end up leaving, and some people will just be gone, maybe from the company even. So it's just a matter of time.
They added to the family.
Yeah.
Oh no, but who was the guy you said?
So Jake Doyle, who was Jake something and team.
From nothing. That was.
Hell yes, man. Hell yeah. But this episode of Collision was okay. Wasn't fantastic, but one other last news bit to come out of it was Zeta Steele is officially All Elite, the former WWE ID'd Zeta Steele. So she's in the Skyflight faction now. And let's call it what it is. She was in there with Marina Shafir. She got a little bit of offense in. It wasn't quite a squash match, but she did look good in the limited time that she had on that match. So, yeah. I can see that you weren't a fan, but in any event, let's talk briefly and set the stage for those people that haven't seen the show tonight. I've got to say this, man. You'd mentioned that Swerve and Kevin Knight match. The Kenny Omega and Josh Alexander match, that was the sole reason that Josh Alexander signed with AEW, is because he's wanted to work Kenny Omega for years and has never had the capability to do so on a decent stage. So this allows him the capability of doing that. And I can only hope that the match was a pretty solid one tonight.
It was. And,
good, as it should be.
Now, I do want to comment on one thing, though.
Yes.
I know, no joking. When it came to FTR and Alec Price versus Jordan Oliver, they made a big deal about Price and Oliver coming from the indies and being, you know, tag team stars in the indies. They didn't look awful. They made FTR work for it a little bit. Do you see a future with those two guys? Are you familiar with them?
I absolutely do. And here's one other thing that is telling, in my view, is the fact that you had MJF. He mentioned on Dynamite in that promo last week that he was going to be a traveling champion, that he was going to go and defend the AEW World Championship in many different promotions. He likened himself to like Buddy Rogers and, you know, various NWA champions from back in the day. But the fact is, he did go to Limitless Wrestling, and he worked against Alec Price. And realistically speaking, that match was an absolute banger. I've only seen clips from it. I have not seen the full match. It is available on YouTube if you want to go check it out. But MJF essentially was brought into Limitless as the tryout for Alec Price. And based on how that match went, determined whether he was going to get the call. And you know, big props to those guys. Speaking of, as you can see, they've already gotten the graphic. So Jordan Oliver, Alec Price are officially All Elite. So they've gotten the graphic as well. Quite a bit of moving parts, as we've seen in AEW this week, to say the very least, man.
I don't much care. I didn't like the way they rolled out. They did look like jobbers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jordan Oliver, Alex Price. The names aren't that flashy. They're dipping their toes in the water. We'll see how time. You have Speedball, Mike Bailey. You have names and you have tags and you have, you know, a gimmick and a backstory. It's too early to tell.
Yep.
So we'll see. If they have a tag name, maybe that might, you know, bring them a little bit more legitimacy.
I am familiar with both of those guys from, you know, obviously their indie work, but also work that they did in GCW. So I think that this signing of those two guys was more of a preventative signing to ensure WWE didn't sign one of those guys.
They look more like TNA caliber. They look like a group that could go into TNA. I mean, you know, think about like the Grizzled Young Vets.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of just shuffle around. They have a theme, but they shuffle around in the background and their fillers. I don't know. We'll see. It's too early to tell. I didn't have like a whoa moment.
And, you know, speaking of signings, let's just talk about it, because I know obviously we've been going for about an hour. Let's discuss this. The Rascals were announced as coming soon to AEW. And then they did have a promo on Collision. Oh, wait, that's right. 75% of them had a promo. 3 out of 4 members of the Rascals were involved in that promo. And then later we found out, after seeing Desmond Xavier, after seeing Myron Reed, and after seeing Zachary Wentz, not seeing Trey Miguel, we knew something was up, and Trey Miguel was actually released. And this from Fightful Select, it was actually not anyone in AEW that made the call. It was a call made from WBD. And if you will remember, WBD had some issue with Jay Briscoe and some of the things that he put on his social media in, you know, right around 2020, 2019, you know, say whatever you will, cancel culture is still a thing. It is what it is. And Trey Miguel, he took ownership of it. He said that he made a lot of mistakes in my time. I've always apologized and did my best to put a better foot forward after. I don't preach hate, and I don't take pride in being hateful. I'm a man of faith. I believe in forgiveness and only ever preach that. I'm a different man today. So obviously, recognizing that, speaking to that, the tweets and posts in question, you know, not exactly not exactly.
I'm so lost right now. He is the heart of the Rascals, number one.
He absolutely is. So long story short, obviously I don't want to put the tweets on our programming, but essentially degraded somebody for being gay and likened it to them not being able to get with a woman. So they So that was, and again, this happened in 2020. So we got 6 years.
Here's the thing. And I had this conversation with somebody about Tessa Blanchard.
Yep.
And when Tessa Blanchard got her belt in 2019 and beat Sami Callihan, it was a huge deal that a woman becomes a world heavyweight champion on a major wrestling promotion.
Yep.
And then you find out she said racist stuff about black women. You go, damn it. I just dumped the entire kitchen sink and everything I had in it behind her. Fuck it. We got to go with it. And they went with it. And then it resurfaces a few years later again. And I'm like, all right, fool me once, right? This is 6 years ago. What the flying fuck?
And that's the thing is, you know, Jay Briscoe had some very similar types of tweets that he threw out. And Tony bought Ring of Honor to bring in the Briscoes. He's said as much. And WBD put the kibosh on it. They would not allow Jay Briscoe on any of their networks. So, and unfortunately, Jay died in the tragic auto accident before ever being able to debut on AEW television.
Look, so, you know what? It's, and this is true, and I'm not going to throw any names out there, but there are comedians I know who have checkered pass.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them right now will not ever advance to any notoriety because the moment any backstories reach the ears of the people on the strip that matter, at least in Las Vegas, I've seen people go up and I've seen people disappear. And was it about their past? I don't necessarily know, but people in the entertainment industry, they have minds like steel traps, and their main thing is, it's never about your ability. They will look at you and they will go, I'm sure you'll get work somewhere, but I do not want to take a chance on you. We have investors. And unfortunately, back in 2020, you happened to say some things, Trey, that were questionable about people of the LGBTQ community. And we don't feel comfortable having you affect the assets of this company. There will be some verbiage to that effect. Exactly. And you go, well, wait a minute now. Now I'm a nerd. And when I hear that the Rascals are going to come to AEW, that's fucking phenomenal.
Yep.
They are an insane. They are, like, to me, Generation Me, when they were in TNA, I was like, who are these guys? Mm-hmm. Nick and Matt Jackson. I don't even remember if that's what they called themselves then. They had totally different names.
Yeah.
And I don't, you see what I'm saying? But I was like, wow, they're in X Division matches and they're fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are already patent. See, AEW does do something smart that WWE doesn't do. If AEW sees that you have a gimmick and a title, a gimmick and a name, they will just take your whole thing and just transfer it right on over. And
absolutely. Because they don't want to own your name. That's the thing. AEW doesn't want to own your name. WWE and TKO, they do. That's your major difference between those types of talent.
You know, that's how you have the revival, right? That we're on, you know, with Vincent and AEW. Mm-hmm. Is that the name of that tag team with Vincent and
The Righteous.
The Righteous. Pardon me. The Righteous. They took that entire gimmick. They took the theme. They took everything. And they just sent it right to TNA and sent the Righteous after the Hardy Boys. And it works.
Yep.
Cool. You either know them or you don't know them, but they already came polished and prepared with the gimmick and a thing. And great. These guys are weed smoking guys up in a treehouse getting high. And there's four of them. Myron has always been like the outside guy. To have Myron be considered more important than Trey Miguel, I don't think anyone would say that. I've been watching him for a long time. Myron is like once in a while guy.
Well, essentially, he's going to be taking the place.
And that's fucked up. And here's the thing. Here's what I get annoyed at. I'm a fan of your product, and I'm the guy paying for your product. Can I decide whether or not somebody should be forgiven as a fan? When does my input matter? And if I am gay or black or Asian or Jewish or whatever, you know, group that's being marginalized, when do I get to say, as any representation of any of those people, hey, we want him more than we care about his 2020 views?
Yeah.
I mean, what's his name? The sex god Samuel Guevara said he wanted to fuck the shit out of
Mercedes. He said he wanted to SA Sasha Banks. He actually said that he wanted to.
Yeah. And you know what they did? They knew the guy is in the heart of a big run. He's tagging with Jericho. You yank him for, you give him a Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer has said, hey, Ric Flair was wagging his dick around on the Flight of Doom.
Yep.
All right. On the curse flight. I forgot what they, and Tommy Dreamer goes, boys will be boys. That's the nature boy for you. They took him off Busted Open. Right. They took him off of TNA. And I'm going, all right. But they put him back. Sign this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Sign this guy. This isn't like AEW TNA going to WWE where nobody knows you because the fans are in that little box. Sign the fucking guy. Sweat him out a little bit, but sign him.
Yeah.
People, be obstinate. Go up there with a fucking Trey Miguel shirt if you got one. Do something. This guy deserves. What the fine fucking irritates the shit out of me because I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
I impersonate Donald Trump. I impersonate Barack Obama. And a guy said to me, well, I can't have you do that. But you'll get work somewhere. Like, well, are you stupid for a living? Dude, take the entertainment. Take it where it comes. All right? Yeah. If a guy is perpetually doing something, I apologize to go on this tangent. The MMA fighter who is on The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't shut the hell up. They were like,
Gina Carano.
Yep. Stop what you're doing. Well, they're silencing me. Like, whoa. I'm not even going to go into what she said. But she started making old, like, Holocaust reference. I'm like, yo, lady, they're willing to give you a pass. You are at the height right now. It doesn't get better than this. You could go into higher and higher domains. You make women look good. Shut the fuck up. There's a difference. A guy fucked up 6 years ago, owned it, moved on, built a career. Good. He learned. That's what you want. You want people to say I was wrong. You want people to say I needed to grow. I cannot be bothered in the least by the words of a 20-something guy. We're not talking about a world leader, a governor, a senator, or this or that. And if you're willing to, you know, move on, you move on.
And ultimately, here's why everything is the way that it is. Because as we know, WBD is in negotiations with Netflix. And part of the negotiations are financial statements. And it was brought to light just a couple of days ago that WBD actually owns a minor stake in AEW. They own less than 10%. And it is not part of the Netflix sale. It will remain with the Global Linear Networks brand, which will retain the rights to TNT and TBS. So to those people that have said that AEW will be without a network, this proves that that will not be the case because they are tied to TBS and TNT for the foreseeable future. Whichever company purchases that right for the terrestrial networks, TNT and TBS, they're going to have AEW as original programming.
All right, I need you to do me a favor.
Yes.
You're going to be going to AEW on the 4th?
I am.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. We'll explain why in a moment, but
yes,
why he's sorry. That's okay. I would do the same thing in your shoes. Go down there for me.
Yep.
Okay. And I need you to show a tree with a missing branch. Where's Trey? I want Where's Trey Miguel to echo through the fucking arenas until the ground swell. Because here's the thing, AEW can be pressured into doing what's right. I think they can be. I honest to God think they can be. But that said, on Collision this weekend, it's going to be Austin Gunn with Billy Gunn wrestling together.
Yes.
So
I did see that. Let's put that graphic up there. So some pretty interesting things happening this weekend on Collision. If you want to take us through it, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, Proto Shida and Billy and Austin Gunn. I mentioned that because then where is the Gun Club? Where is the Bang Bang Gang?
Well, so Colton is injured.
Yeah, I know that.
Colton is injured. And
Juice Robinson,
I don't know if they want to continue to have him teaming with Austin or if they want to have Juice as a singles act. So,
they had a great thing there. They need to bring back the Bullet Club and do it with AEW while they can.
Yeah. I mean, no one's using the trademark. No one's using the logo.
Yep. Just take it. I would love to see the Bullet Club versus the Don Callis family. That's it. Well, you can put the logo back up. Put that. All right. It's Chris Statlander versus Isla Dawn. I'm glad to see she's working. She's going to get her ass handed to her. And or Chris Statlander is going to get jumped. Whatever. Hangman Adam Page versus Katsuyori Shibata. So we've got the ops in the mix. Hangman Adam Page is going to get jumped. Hopefully the rest of the they haven't picked a name yet. They were, you know, shopping names out there. Great. He'll go and fight on his own. He'll get his ass kicked and then they'll come and help him. Andrade El Idolo versus what looks to be a Rey Mysterio knockoff. And Magnus.
Yeah. Magnus? I mean, Magnus. He's a CMLL talent. So.
Wait. Magnus.
Yep. And he's been around, quite a while.
Really? Okay. All right, Magnus. Yep. We're going with that name. Okay. Andrade El Idolo will kick the shit out of him, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
TBS Championship. We are not going to take anything off Willow Nightingale. Nope. She ain't losing shit, but it will be close. Julia Hart will have Tekla and Sky Blue in her corner causing trouble. The other Cosmic Babes of Wrath will come to her rescue, and there will either be an interference. The only thing I want to say about the Triangle of Madness, it is really Julia Hart and Sky Blue doing their usual gimmick. With Tekla way off on another field, not following in suit with the demonic thing, just kind of being more psychotic, not demonic. There's no cohesion between them. They don't need Tekla. They could have done what they were doing without Tekla, in my opinion. She kind of loosely fits, but they'll ride it for a while.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong is a crotchety old man. He might as well have a gray mustache and have a double barrel shotgun and go, get off my lawn, because he's going to get his ass kicked in. He's part of the conglomeration, but he's not. They're not going to run out of their way to help him until the last bloody second. So fuck it. Don't care.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody. And Davis and Doyle in action. Here's the thing. I don't give a shit about Mark Davis. I really wish that with everything that happens, that they find some way to bring back the Inland Empire, because they have
United all, Empire.
Why am I? My head is not focused today. Inland Empire.
It's all good, bro.
It's California. And and by the way, in my head, I've got like dyslexia or something. I'm picturing it. And all that. And then I came up with Inland Empire instead of, but yeah, bring back the United Empire.
Yeah.
Remember, I thought that Becky Lynch was married to the Miz earlier.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't even remember the gang, the Australian gang signs. Okay. So, all right. So make it look like
it's, I'm just my screen. I love yous put together.
Yeah, but on my screen, your pinkies were gone, so all I saw was this.
I'm because the...
Yeah. So, bring back the United Empire. That was great. Give them belts. Give them tag belts. Give them just do something.
Empires are meant to be built, and empires fall. And, you know, it's one of those things, but if only we had somebody on the show that could talk to us about the benefits of just how great empires are. I don't know where we could find somebody.
You know, it's very tiring. I spent my whole day in Davros. Very rude people, but very rude people. And, you know, they don't want to give me Greenland. I said, I want Greenland. I deserve Greenland. In fact, you know, I was going to put a beautiful, beautiful arena there. It was going to be the United Iceland Reykjavik Arena. And they tell me there's a lot of great parts of Iceland. Because that's what I want is Iceland. We're going to be taking Iceland, and it's going to be a perfect arrangement when we protect Iceland with a golden dome of anti-Iceland missile. Well, there's ice and green. Well, there's ice over there too. Greenland, that's what I said, Greenland, and where, you know, and that's where, you know, the Miz met Becky Lynch was in Greenland, and Becky Lynch and, you know, the Miz, they've done some tremendous work together. They were in the Marines 5 and Star Trek Brave New Academy together. The Miz played Klingon number 2. It was a spectacular, tremendous role. He's a very, very big actor. You know, they don't say enough good things about him. They really don't. He's one of the you know, the unsung heroes of our time. And we've got these arrangements going on with Warner Brothers Discovery, and I don't honestly know how they're even allowed to do that. I didn't approve anything yet. Nothing has been approved yet. In fact, I had a talk with Ted Turner, and I said, we have to look into bringing back WCW, because you've got elites, but these people were world championship wrestlers, okay? You had Sting. They don't have Sting. And they had Ric Flair. They had no Ric Flair in AEW. And they've had a lot of people. They had the Four Horsemen. I don't remember any of the Four Horsemen on AEW.
Are you sure about that?
They're telling me some of those people might have been on AEW. They might have made a visitation. I never remember seeing them. They tell me Ric Flair was there, but I just don't care.
Sting actually was a champion in AEW as well, Mr. President.
Excuse me. Your president's joking, okay? I know you're not the bald guy. Okay, you're not the bald guy. We don't like the bald guy because he's so rude, okay? He's a shitty... I told L.A. Drake, don't tip him. I told L.A. Drake... Excuse me. Sorry. Eli Knight. I told Eli Knight... Don't tip him. Yeah, don't tip him. And he didn't do it. He was smart. He didn't do it. They took him to the, first of all, who's going to the fucking arts district? He was probably got out of the bald guy's car so he could get a better Uber driver. That's what he was really doing. They got into Matt's car. He goes, I want out of that car. It's a Toyota Prius. It's a piece of shit Prius. It's an electric car powered by windmills. Okay. It is a piece of shit windmill powered car. You know, Ricker almost got testicular cancer just from riding in the back seat with Matt Michaels, which is really not his real name. It's Matt Hickenbottom. Believe it. Okay. Think about it. Don't pay me fuzzy. Don't play me off with the fuzzy slipper guy, the open toed slipper guy. They made a music video of me. I'm so sad. People. Tomorrow, I'm going to be giving a State of the AEW address from the 51st state of Lavender Land, which is what you get when you take Greenland and you make it red, white, and blue land. But then when you make red, white, and blue and you put it together, that makes lavender. So to the people of the 51st state of Lavender Land, you better have your rare minerals ready because we're going to drill, baby, drill. Now you can speak.
All right. All right. Perfect. Thank you, Mr. President, for your pontification as always. All right. So
okay, as we take a piss,
as we wrap up, I had mentioned earlier that there are a lot of moving parts in both major promotions here in the States. Earlier in the week, this past week, there was a WWE tryout that got the attention of mainstream media. And the biggest thing was that was interesting is the emphasis on former independent workers. WWE had mentioned numerous times how they were looking exclusively for athletes that had never done professional wrestling so that they could teach them the ways and teach them the WWE style. So I did put this graphic on the screen that's showing all of the people in this tryout list that WWE held earlier this week. Obviously the most notable name, Starboy Charlie, former independent wrestler, was in GCW. And it really stood out to me that WWE is putting on a full court press. They're trying to reload, if you will. They're trying to bolster all of their rosters. And this comes at a time when quite a few contracts are actually expiring from other promotions. We already mentioned Powerhouse Hobbs, but also of note, and somebody who has ties to AEW shit. Tony Khan point blank mentioned that he didn't like this guy's work. But this gentleman has ties to WWE in that, sorry, internet virgins, he is married to Io Sky. I'm talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling's Evil. So WWE is about ready to get a whole lot more Evil.
Oh, my God. That's who Io Sky is bedding down with every night?
That is Io Sky's husband.
Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. Yes, Jesus. Sir. Elsewhere, leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be Hiromu Takahashi, somebody who's been featured several times on AEW television. Will he make his way to AEW? We shall see. And let's see here. What else do we have? We've got some interesting things like, I don't know. How's your childhood doing, guys? In case you're not well aware, you've got Matt and Jeff Hardy. And then Steve from Blue's Clues, they got together at a fan convention and took this memorable photo. Gotta love that. Also, after the stunning revelation that Finn Balor loves to smoke weed while he's training, Finn Balor poses the question, who wants to go training? And RVD, yes, friend of the show, Rob Van Dam, WWE Hall of Famer. Bro, I'm already here. Where are you? So, yeah, gotta love that.
I think Rob Van Dam wants to kick my ass.
Really?
Because of the Tylee Texas interview that we did a few months ago. Because I got a call at 2 in the morning going, where were you? I'm here with RVD in my house. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's going to kill my ass.
He's going to fucking Van Terminate your ass.
Oh, yeah. I did not know what was going to come out of that girl's mouth. So,
Nonetheless, speaking of things unwise, Dominic Mysterio is All Elite in a form.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you're curious, WWE ran a video package where they had Dominic Mysterio pictured with the championship belt, and that championship belt was the shape of the AAA championship, But on the belt, it actually said AEW. And this, ladies and gentlemen, ran on WWE's AAA programming. Yes, this path through QC. So interesting stuff. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
I wonder if they have to pay any money for that.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened people will sue for damn near anything these days. It wouldn't surprise me.
You know what the funny thing is? Tony Khan right there, that'd be a great opportunity to just call it out. You call it out and you go, we're not going to do anything about it. We just wanted to let you know that we were aware of your snafu and thank you for plugging the better program.
Bingo. That's all you need to do. And, you know, speaking of plugging great programming, Rob, where are you going to be this week? How can people follow you? Tell us all what's going on.
All right. So as soon as the show ends, I'm going to be driving to the beach house in Henderson, where you could see me do a quick 10 minutes. On Friday, I will be in Arizona, in Parker, Arizona, doing a show there. In fact, I apologize for not being prepared. Spring that one on me. Let me get that one. Parker, Arizona. Hold on. Where is it? Oh, here we go. It is the Danny T Presents Just Laugh. It's at the Roadrunner Resort, 7000 Riverside Drive, Parker, Arizona, 85344. The doors open at 8. Show starts at 9. 2-drink minimum, 21 and over. Special guest. Well, I wonder who was going to be making an appearance. And then what we were talking about earlier, on Wednesdays, starting in February for the foreseeable future, there will be a show at Vintage Lounge, 1227 Main Street in Las Vegas. 8 p.m. showtime. This will not, from the onset, be an open mic, so you're not going to see people up there. I'm just working something out. Hold on, let me get my. Hold on, I got it. Hold on, wait, no, that's not where the joke is. Hold on.
So basically, not you during the plug segment.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Uh huh. Iceland. comedy.
Miz and Becky Lynch.
Yeah. No, there will be, if there is room after the headliners, all your features and headliners go up, if there's room within that 8 to 10 time slot, then we will let some people go and work stuff out. I'll stay a little bit later so that people can, you know, work on some comedy afterwards. But these are the best of Vegas has to offer and beyond. And that's the idea. It's a classier comedy show. Maybe dress a little nicer. And as far as drinks are great. The prices, the ambience is great. It's a lounge that is full of Vegas classic furniture and things from all of the vintage Vegas hotels and casinos that are no longer with. The owner there is amassed a great collection, and it's got it all in the lounge organically displayed. And you are now part of the whole vintage feel. It feels like you're walking through the set of the movie Casino in the 90s. Really amazing. And as far as food is concerned, it's Main Street, 8 o'clock. Go fucking nuts. There are restaurants within a like 2-block radius all around. It's the best food in Las Vegas. You can have whatever you want. Now I don't have to worry about feeding you.
Hell yeah.
Menu was shit, and it was overpriced. And go eat wherever the fuck you want. Just food everywhere. We're here for the drinks and the laughter. Laughter and drinks.
Hell yeah, man. Absolutely. And where can people follow you on social media?
We will have all that information and more about yours truly on Vegas Trump Guy. Vegas Trump Guy. Why? Because I'm the Vegas Trump Guy.
Hell yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Go follow Rob. Buy a cameo from him. Go see him live. And as we're winding down, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. All right, man. We made it through.
We want you, Trey Miguel. You're the heart of the Rascals.
That's right, dude.
Fuck Warner Brothers.
Fuck Warner Brothers. You know, and I do want to just take this time as well. I want to wish Matt Michaels a speedy recovery. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next week. And, we'll be back here next week. Feel free, check us out, Facebook.com.
He's getting a special surgery.com. And when he gets back, he'll be even more obnoxious. He'll be more condescending to AEW programming. He's getting that little part of his brain that doesn't accept anything other than WWE heightened and grown. And it's called a WWE enlargement.
Ooh.
Yep.
Sounds interesting.
And they're calling it a Vince McMahon. He's getting it done in Mexico, which is why he's going to be gone for so long.
Ah, you know, that explains everything.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it makes all the sense in the world, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully he is back with us next week. But until then.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.